Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you. Rid yourself, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Since it is Mother's Day, I found a neat little story called When God Created Mothers. And see how many of you mothers can identify with this. When the good Lord created mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around with this one." The Lord replied, "Have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic, have 180 movable parts, all replaceable, run on black coffee and leftovers, have a lap that disappears when she stands up, a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair, and six pair of hands." The angel shook her head slowly and said, "Six pair of hands? No way." "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the three pair of eyes that mothers have. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know, and of course the ones in front that look at a child when he goofs up and I say, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise." Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek of the mother. "There's a leak," she pronounced. "I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What is it for?" asked the angel. The Lord replied, "It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride." "You're a genius," shouted the angel. With a somber look on his face, the Lord said, "I didn't put it there." That's our mothers. Our mothers are like that. They see all, they know all, but they are always there to care for us, no matter what we do, no matter how awful we've been or what terrible thing we've done. Mothers are always there to love us and care for us and watch over us. They are the closest thing to God that we will ever find on this earth. Mothers are like that. Another little Mother's Day thing that I thought would be kind of neat, it's a list called Murphy's Laws of Parenting. The later you stay up, the earlier your child will wake up the next morning. The gooier the food, the more likely it is to end up on the carpet. The longer it takes you to make a meal, the less your child will like it. A sure way to get something done is to tell your child, "Don't do that." For a child to become clean, something else must become dirty. Toys multiply to fill any space available. Yours is always the only child who doesn't behave. If the shoe fits, it's expensive. Backing the car out of the driveway causes your child to have to go to the bathroom. The one that I remember in relation to that is the Christmas story when they get him all bundled up and he's like this, and then he has to use the bathroom. And I'm sure most mothers remember situations like that. So I thought that was a neat little list. Our mothers, we love them to death. They're beautiful people. But it isn't easy being a mom. There's a mom named Mary Jane Kurtz. She was a single mom, four children, and it was difficult to get them ready for church on Sunday mornings. So one particular Sunday morning, as they started to complain and squabble, she stomped from one room to the other, saying out loud why it is so important that they go to church as a family and have a good attitude. Suddenly, she noticed all four children huddled together and laughing. "What's so funny?" she said. "Mom, every time you slam down your foot, smoke comes out. It must be the wrath of God." In reality, it was the powder she'd put in her shoe to keep them from getting so sweaty. But after that, she made it to church on time, and practically every Sunday her children were with her. The wrath of God. It is Mother's Day. We don't want to take our mothers for granted. The best example of what Mother's Day should read is, "Forget the housework, Mom. It's your day. Besides, you can do double duty tomorrow and catch up." I suspect you moms can relate. Since Mother's Day, I want to draw your attention to the lesson from 1 Peter, particularly the 22nd verse where it reads, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." Love one another deeply from the heart. That's mother. They love us deeply from the heart. They are always there. And those words from Peter about loving one another, they're not necessarily directed at us as a community of faith, because we know to do that as Christians. Those words are really directed at the secular society around us. They need to learn to love one another from the heart. Peter says, "Since you call on Father who judges each man's work impartially," and then he says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ." And then further on, it says, "Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." We know that as Christians. We know to love one another. Society around us today, especially today, has problems with that. They have a difficult time caring about one another, loving one another. They just don't want to have to go out of their way to do something for somebody, even if they see them in distress on the side of the road or whatever it might be. But love itself is a great burden for us to have as Christians. It's not really a burden. It's something that we just feel from the heart. And while Christians disagree about a lot of things, we disagree on social issues. Some Christians are teetotalers, where some Christians believe it's okay to have a little drink every now and again. After all, the Bible says don't get drunk. It doesn't say don't drink. There are those who believe the different ways of baptism. That's the only way. We've got the immersion people, we've got the sprinkling people, we've got the water on the head people. We disagree. Christians are not perfect people. We do have disagreements. We don't all agree on how we serve Christ, but I tell people that's okay because we've all got the same goal and we're all going the same place. How you worship Him, that's up to you. There's a story about a man named Larry Doby. He was the first African-American baseball player. And you can imagine, back in the 1940s, there was still a lot of segregation and different things like that. And so people weren't real crazy about the idea that here's this black baseball player, and he comes out on the field, and he gets up to bat, and he misses all three pitches by a long shot. Well, the crowd says, see there? You don't want them in our baseball games, and they booed him off the field. So he went off the field with his head down, went into the dugout, went down to the end of the bench, sat down, and held his hands, his face in his hands. Well, the next person to come up to bat was Joe Gordon. He was an all-star hitter. He almost always got a hit and very often put it out of the park. He steps up to the base, the plate, and he also misses all three pitches by a long shot. Very unusual for him. He too puts his head down as he's walking off the field into the dugout, but he goes down to where Larry Doby is sitting, sits next to him, and puts his head in his hands just as well. Now, we don't know to this day whether he just was having a terrible day or whether he did that on purpose to show people that you should love everybody. You should care about everybody. He was showing that. And we can do the same thing. No matter who they are, what language they speak, what color they are, we are to love everyone equally the same. There's another neat little story about a man who got caught in traffic. It was his anniversary. He knew he wasn't going to make it home in time. And wouldn't you know, his cell phone quit on him. Couldn't call his wife and explain that, hey, I'm caught in traffic. I am going to be late. I'm so sorry. But this guy worked out of his car. So he had his laptop with him, and I don't know if you've ever seen one, but they make these little portable printers that you can run off your cigarette lighter. So he printed out this message asking people to call his wife and explain the situation. Had her phone number on there and everything. Well, when he finally did get home, his wife met him at the door, gave him the biggest hug and kiss he has ever had. I love you so much. Turns out 70 people had called her to explain to her why he was going to be late. And that's terrific. She was thrilled that he had gone to the trouble of getting somebody to tell her what was going on. But the downside of that is you have to stop and consider there was probably 500 or 600 people on that expressway that drove right by him and didn't do a thing. And there may have been another 70 people that cursed him for trying to do a good thing. Our secular society just doesn't seem to get it. So much so, there was a story in the Denver Post about an 85-year-old woman. Her husband had drove the family car down to Florida. She was going to fly down to be with him. She's in the airport terminal in Denver. She's standing there in front of the arrival and departure board, and she starts to have chest pains, severe chest pains. There's a young man standing in front of her who is looking at this arrival and departure board, and she tries to get his attention and explain to him, hey, I think I'm having a heart attack here. And he just kind of blows her off and goes on. Several people walk by her, and she's clenching her chest, taking nitroglycerin tablets, and they just ignore her. They go on through the terminal. She gets on her cell phone and manages to call her daughter, who is in another city. Her daughter calls 911, gets transferred to the Denver 911, which gets transferred to the security people at Denver International Airport. And the guy at the Denver International Airport, he says, what do you want me to do about it? And that's how our secular society is. Eventually, she has been waiting on a wheelchair anyway to get her to where her plane was. A young man come up with the wheelchair, sits her down in it, but he doesn't speak English. She can't explain to him, hey, I'm on my fourth nitroglycerin tablet. I'm dying here. But he realized there was something serious going on, so he took her over to one of his friends who translated for her. And then he rushed her to the airport infirmary where they got her stabilized and taken care of. The sad thing about that whole situation is nobody seemed to care, including the emergency people. They didn't care. What do you want me to do about it? And that's the society we live in. But as Christians, we aren't like that. We want to help others, not because we feel like we have to. You can't work your way into heaven. We do it because we want to, because we know it's the right thing to do. We want to take care of others. We are there for others, just like mothers. They're always there, loving us and caring for us. They would do anything for us, no matter what it is, to help us. Christians are like that. For Christians, love is the rule, not the exception. For secular society, it's kind of the other way around. Jesus tells us in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." We are even to love people that are mean to us or have done terrible things to us. Without exception, we're supposed to love everybody. In fact, at a little birthday party, a little 7-year-old boy, he's getting all the attention because it's his birthday party, which is understandable. But there was a little boy at that party that got jealous of all that attention he was getting and went up to him and pushed him down, landed on his rear end, and then cracked his head. Well, he could have gotten up and started a fight, but he didn't. He knew who the little boy was. He walked across to him and hugged him. Now, that's Christian love. He was only 7 years old. And that's how we're supposed to be. Just because somebody's mean to us and does something terrible to us doesn't mean we should do the same thing to them. It's not about getting even. It's about showing Christian discipleship and love. There are no exceptions because we are to love everyone. John 15:12 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." He doesn't make any exceptions. Love one another as I have loved you. Good Christian people will do anything for a fellow Christian. 1952, the Korean conflict. A couple of men in a foxhole. One of these men is now called Brennan Manning, but that's not his birth name. His birth name was Richard Manning. They were in this foxhole trying to keep from getting killed, eating candy bars, and the enemy somehow lobs a grenade into this foxhole. Well, his friend, Ray Brennan, dives on the grenade to save Richard Manning's life. He dies, obviously. No greater gift can you give than to give your life for another. This Richard Manning, 8 years later, was going to become a Franciscan priest. And in the tradition of a Franciscan priest, you take on a different name when you are ordained. So he thought back to his friend, Ray Brennan, who gave his life for him. And he chose the name Brennan Manning because he always wanted to remember the love his friend had showed to him by giving up his life. All these stories that we've talked about this morning, those that express love, those are about Christianity, but more importantly for today, it's about mothers. Because mothers truly are the closest thing here on earth to God. They are like God on earth because they treat us as children like God treats his children always there, always loving, never getting angry, always forgiving. That's the way mothers are. So we've talked about a lot of examples of loving one another. We've also talked about some don't do this examples about how society acts. Christ was a model for us about how to be a good Christian. And that's how we are to be. Love one another, care for one another. Mothers love one another and care for all their children. And that's great. And whether your mother is living or whether your mother has passed on to the Lord already, we honor mothers today. We are reminded of our mothers and all the things that they did for us. The way they went out of their way to show us love. And we are privileged that God chose that mother to be our mother. Because God places us where He wants us to be. So you should be thankful for the mother you have. Always remember her. Always show her your love back to her the way she loves you. Love one another as I have loved you. That's mothers. As funny as it was, the story I read at the beginning, that's mothers. They get along on coffee and leftovers. They can do miracles with a kiss. There are great things about mothers. So remember your mother today. Take her out to a big fancy meal. Tell her you love her. Hug her. Give her a kiss. Tell her how much you appreciate the way she has taken care of you all these years and all the time you know she's going to continue to be there with you. God love our mothers. We love our mothers. Amen.